we replace the physical descendants of Abraham in the promise of the covenant. These promises are made to physical descendants of Abraham. And one of the most basic promises that he gave to the physical descendants of Abraham was a land. And he went to the land, and you remember he separated from Lot, or I should say Lot separated from him, and God gave Lot the Abraham gave Lot the option, you go wherever you want. He went down and dwelt in a really nice land by Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham took everything else, or took the other part. And God says to Abraham, look at verse 14 of chapter 13. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants. How long? Forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can all be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. Now, that's the promise that God gave to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant. In Genesis 15, when he actually, this is the official covenant, and God passes through the sacrifices and so forth and confirms the covenant, as it were, and he tells them very specifically at the end of chapter 15 what the land is. Now, in chapter 17, years later, he still doesn't have a seed. He's 99 years old. He still doesn't have a child. He doesn't have a son. And, you know, this failed thing with Hagar, he went into Hagar and had a son, but God said that this son, Ishmael, is not the answer. That's not the answer to he actually tells him in chapter 17 that it's not only going to be through you, it's going to be through your wife, Sarah herself. And but in this is one of the clearest statements of the Abrahamic covenant in chapter 17. And I won't read the whole thing, but if you look in chapter 17, verse 6, he says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you. Kings will come forth from you. And I can't help but think that that primarily is looking at the Davidic line. All these kings came forth from Abraham. He says, I will, verse 7, establish my covenant between you and you, your descendants, after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. Now notice, he's talking about the physical descendants of Abraham, that I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with them. And here's the covenant: to be a God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, God didn't stutter here. I mean, that's a clear statement of promise regarding a land, people, that they would be his God. Now, all the covenants that follow this, including the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the New Covenant, are all somehow extensions, expressions, expansions of this covenant. By the way, it's stated again in chapter 22 after he passes the test of offering Isaac, but I won't go there. But let me take a minute and look how the old covenant, I want you to consider the old covenant. You know, again, the Mosaic covenant came about 400, 500 years after the Abrahamic covenant. And by this time, as you know, we've been studying in Exodus, the descendants of Abraham now became a very large number. And they were in Egypt, as was prophesied in Genesis 15. And they were a very large number. And now, I don't want to go into all this detail, but it's really interesting. Like in chapter 6, remember, when God hears them cry out, and he hears their groaning, the reason he hears them, he tells us very plainly in the book of Exodus, is because of the covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Abrahamic covenant. And he calls this people out and he takes them to Sinai, and he basically, this is where they actually become a nation. And he gives this nation a covenant. And that covenant included a civil law, a moral law, and a religious or a ceremonial law. Did I say it? Civic? Yeah. And all of this constituted them as a nation. And God himself established himself as king over the nation, his throne being the ark, the mercy seat, the ark of the covenant. And notice what God said. Well, turn to Leviticus 26. Now, God's going to take them into the land that he promised to Abraham, the land that was promised in the Abrahamic covenant. And as you know, the promise basically in the Mosaic covenant was, if what? You keep my commandments. Now, I want to emphasize, if you as a nation, there were always Israelites, weren't there? There were always faithful Israelites. Did Moses keep his commandments? I mean, there were always faithful Israelites. It wasn't the idea of a few keeping his commandments. The idea was that if you as a nation follow me, keep my commandments, and obey my law, you will what? Dwell in the land that I promised you, okay, and you'll be blessed in that land. Notice Leviticus 26. He says in verse 1, I'll just read the first few verses here. You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image or a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land or bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season, so that the land will yield its produce, and the trees of the field will bear the fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely. Live securely in your land. He goes on. He talks about overcoming their enemies and prosperity in the land. If they disobey, you know this, they will be thrown out of the land. They will eventually be thrown out of the land and they will be spread throughout the world. Now look at verse 40. It says, if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their forefathers in their unfaithfulness, which they committed against me, and also in their acting with hostility against me, I also was acting with hostility against them to bring them into the land of their enemies, or if their uncircumcised heart becomes humbled, so that they then make amends for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will remember also my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, as well as, and I will remember the land. For the land will be abandoned by them, and will make up for its Sabbaths while it is made desolate without them. They, meanwhile, will be making amends for their iniquity because they rejected my ordinances and their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet, in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, nor will I so abhor them as to destroy them, breaking my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will remember for them the covenant with their ancestors. Again, this is the connection with the Abrahamic covenant. The Mosaic covenant was an expression, initially, and we could say it's an expression of the promises that were in the Abrahamic covenant. He says, these are the statutes and the ordinances and laws which the Lord established between himself and the sons of Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. Now, as you know, and this was prophesied from the very beginning, that they could not keep his commandments and would not keep his commandments. But God promised that one day they would. Look at Deuteronomy 30 again. This is all rehearsal. But I say this because this is so important in understanding the Davidic covenant. because they're related to these other two covenants. It's related to these other two covenants. So at the end of Moses' life, and God again gives the promises of blessing and cursing in Deuteronomy 28. It says, if you obey me, you'll be blessed in the land. If you don't obey me, you'll be cursed and you'll eventually be thrown out of the land and you will be scattered through the whole world. But then he gives this really a prophecy, which is really a precursor of the new covenant. He says, so it shall be when all of these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I've set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations, where the Lord your God has banished you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and soul, according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore your captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. The Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. This is the promise that God made to the physical descendants of Abraham. Not to every single physical descendant, because many of them were unbelievers. And today, many of them are unbelievers. But the promise is that there would be a generation. You say, why did God make this promise? I like the way Doug Bookman says it. In many respects, the greatest theme of the Bible is God's complete faithfulness to Israel in view of its utter unfaithfulness. There is no greater demonstration of the glory of God. There will be no greater demonstration of the glory of God when God saves the Jewish people. It will be the greatest demonstration of the power of God. And that's what he says. Now, the reason I say that, or the reason I take you to these passages, and I need to be done here for sake of time, but the reason I take you to these passages is I want you to see that the Davidic covenant is building on these two covenants. The old covenant, and we're told in the Old Testament, the Mosaic covenant was meant to be temporary. But there would come a new covenant that would replace the old covenant. And their hearts would be changed. They would be in the land. But now what the Davidic covenant adds is this. The one who's going to accomplish all this is going to come from the line of David. And so as you read the Davidic covenant, all these promises about the land are there. It's going to be David, the son of David, the king, who's going to accomplish it. And what you'll find, and this is what we'll look at next time, as you go through the rest of the Old Testament after the Davidic covenant, these two things are always together. The promise to David and the promise of the land. It's inseparable. So when Christ rose from the dead, and Peter said this, it proved that he is the one who will do this. He hasn't done it yet. He will do it when he comes the second time. There's a lot of evidence to that in the Old Testament, very clear. And this obviously helped us understand what the Bible teaches about the future and what he has planned still for the Jewish people. God is faithful to his promises. And so the Davidic covenant is the promise that it's going to be the son of David who is going to accomplish all of this. And in fact, as you know, every promise in the covenants is fulfilled in Christ. He gave his life for the forgiveness of sins. But he's also going to reign and bring peace and righteousness over the whole earth. All of the promises, the whole earth will be blessed through the promises that God gave to Abraham and expanded in all the other covenants. covenant. So next time we'll look on the backside of this covenant. We'll look and into the, what follows this covenant and look at some of the passages. They're very rich that put these two together. So I will stop there, and we will again just celebrate communion. So let me just pray, and then we'll prepare for communion. Father, we're thankful that you have, by your grace, revealed to us your promises. Promises made initially, truly, to the seed of Abraham, to the physical descendant of Abraham through Isaac and through Jacob, to the Jewish people, a nation that you actually created out of Abraham and gave them these wonderful promises. Father, we're thankful that in your infinite mercy and wisdom, as Paul says in Romans, through their rejection of their Messiah when he came the first time, we, by your grace and according to your providential plan, we as the Gentiles are brought into these blessings. But Lord, we're thankful that you're going to keep these promises with the Jewish people, even as you said from the very beginning. And we're thankful that you are a faithful, covenant-keeping God. And we're thankful that you have accomplished all of these things and will accomplish all of these things through the work of Christ. We look forward, we're thankful as we look back and see what Christ accomplished on the cross. We're thankful as we look forward and see what Christ will accomplish when he returns and brings peace and righteousness to this world. And we thank you, Lord, for your word that reveals all these things and the Holy Spirit, indeed, that applies it to our hearts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, again, if